Okay, I'm going to be giving this next talk on primary and secondary syphilis in the United States, epidemiology and emerging issues. Probably this group doesn't need this background, but as you all know, syphilis is a genital ulcerative infection. It facilitates the transmission of HIV. Syphilis and other STDs are markers of behaviors associated with HIV transmission. Untreated early syphilis during pregnancy results in infection of the fetus in more than 70% of cases. Prior to 2000, rates of primary and secondary syphilis had declined for 10 years. However, since 2000, rates among men have increased, while those among women continued to decline until 2003. In 2005, CDC began collecting information on the sex of sex partners of patients with syphilis. And this is the overall trend slide of primary and secondary syphilis from 1981 to 2007. And keep in mind, all the data that I show you for 2007 is preliminary and may change, hopefully, slightly by the end of, by the fall. Two points I want to make with this slide. One is that primary and secondary syphilis has been increasing in this country for the past 7 years since 2000. The good news is that rates are still relatively low, historically speaking. They were over 20 cases per 100,000 back in the early 1990s, and it's about 3.7 cases per 100,000 now. So we're still at a very low rate. This looks at it a little more closely among men and women. And as you've seen before, since 2000, we've seen this divergence of rates between men, which have continued to go up, among women, which have continued to come down, flattened, and now have begun rising ever so slightly. This is the age distribution for primary and secondary syphilis, and this is 2006 data, but nevertheless, it's consistent with what we've seen over the past couple of years. Among women, with much lower rates, of course, the highest rates are among those in the younger age groups. In men, however, we see two bumps, one in the lower, younger age groups, in the 20 to 29-year-olds, but also a bump in the older age groups, the 35 to 39-year-olds. So somewhat of a different age distribution, reflecting really several epidemics, heterosexuals and NSM, most likely. Folks have referred to this before, and where we've seen our biggest increases over the past number of years, these are men reported from non-STD clinic settings. These are men from STD clinics, women from non-STD clinic settings, and women from STD clinics. So clearly, for both men and women, we're seeing most of our cases now, and certainly our increases, in non-STD clinic settings. And I'm careful to say non-STD because that doesn't mean they're not in the public sector. But the way we do receive these reports, we're somewhat limited to say just not in those particular clinics. We'd like to get better data, obviously. Looking at primary and secondary syphilis by race ethnicity, you can see particularly among African Americans, rates declined dramatically from 1997 and even from before to 2003. However, in 2003, you can see this almost an inflection point. And ever since, we've seen a rather impressive increase among African Americans. And again, once more, we can see this disparity between African Americans and other racial and ethnic groups. This just looks at the numbers between 2004 and 2007. And again, the 2007 data are preliminary, a little more closely. And you can see for men, since 2004, there's been a 41% increase. Among women, significantly a 33% increase, though the numbers, of course, are much smaller. African Americans, as I said, rates in that group have risen dramatically, approximately percent increase since 2004. Whites 22%, Hispanics 44%. Only American Indians and Native Americans, among whom there have been few reported cases, have shown any kind of decline. In total, we're now seeing over 11,000 cases reported of primary and secondary syphilis. And again, this number is subject to change. This just shows the geographic distribution of primary and secondary syphilis by county in the United States. And as you can see, it's fairly well distributed, although 75% of counties see no cases of primary and secondary syphilis. We see cases really scattered now throughout a good part of the country, maybe with the exception of the upper Midwest, but throughout the West and the South and the Northeast. Again, most counties, of course, see no syphilis, but it's not as focused as it once was in the late 1990s. Looking at the syphilis epidemic locally, which I think is critical, because we really, as I've mentioned, see several epidemics. We can see the disparities on the West Coast between rates of men and women. In San Francisco, and it's been presented at this conference, rates have declined over the past couple of years. Though these are counties, the 10 top counties, the counties with the most cases for 2006, even with those declines in San Francisco, are among the leaders, so to speak, in that regard. And you can see there's a tremendous disparity between men and women. In Los Angeles and San Diego, however, we've seen big increases among men, and again, this disparity between men and women suggesting an MSM epidemic predominantly. Going across the country to New York, again, a big disparity at New York County, which is Manhattan, actually saw a big increase this year in 2007. I didn't present 2007 data here because it's all not finalized, but the main point is in these areas, we're continuing to see mostly an MSM epidemic. Fulton County, which is predominantly Atlanta, Georgia, similarly, mostly among men who have sex with men, and Miami-Dade County. However, in several areas in the South now, we're beginning to see increases among women as well. And you can see in Jefferson County, which is Birmingham, Harris County, which is Houston, in this year, in 2007, we've seen large increases in Shelby County in Tennessee. So we are seeing areas in the South now with increases among women and presumably heterosexual men as well. This looks at the national data again, but breaks it down by sex and race. And while we've continued to see small increases among Black women, white men, we've seen our largest and most dramatic increases over the past several years among African American men. This looks specifically at rates among men by region now, and we've seen increases really across all regions, with the possible exception of the Midwest, with the most dramatic increases in the South, but also in the West and Northeast. This looks at cases in women by region. And here we see a different story. Here we see basically flat rates in virtually all regions of the country, with the exception of the South, which has seen a dramatic upswing, as seen here. Several people have mentioned this disparity issue, and it has come down, as John Douglas mentioned in the plenary session this morning. This is rate ratios between African Americans and whites. In orange are men, in blue, I guess that is turquoise, in women. But so for men, in 1996, the rate in African Americans was over 50 times higher than that in white men. For women, it was about 45 times higher than for white women. And this disparity has decreased tremendously, particularly among men. Now, two things have accounted for that. One is that rates have come down significantly for African Americans over time, even though we've seen some recent increases over the past number of years. They have come down tremendously. In addition, though, among men, we've seen increases among whites. And that's not the way we want to reduce disparities, of course, but that does account for some of these decreases in the so-called disparity between African-American men and white men. Among women, there have been decreases as well, but not as significant. and not to the same degree. We see a disparity of about 13 times rates that are 13 times higher in African American women than in white women. Now, we've been collecting information on sex of sex partner among reported cases of early syphilis since 2005, and this is preliminary, again, 2007 data. And a couple of points I want to make about this slide is that among MSM, this presented by race, ethnicity, whites, blacks, Hispanics, and other groups, regardless of race, MSM account for most cases of primary and secondary syphilis. Certainly among whites, they account for over 80% of all cases. Among African Americans, it's closer to 45 to 50%. Overall, MSM account for about 64% of all cases of primary and secondary syphilis. But across race ethnicities, MSM contribute tremendously to this burden of disease. Among heterosexuals, we see, again, this disparity between African Americans and whites much more significantly than we do among MSM. Now, this looks just at 23 states where we had fairly complete data on sex of sex partners since 2005, because we wanted to look at a trend over time. In 23 states, we had complete data for about 80% of all cases of primary and secondary syphilis with regard to this particular information. And we can see increases among men who have sex with men, really, and among heterosexual men, and also among women, though those are harder to discern. Certainly, the number of cases are so much higher in men who have sex with men. Looking just among men who have sex with men by race, ethnicity, you can see that the rates, the number of cases remain extremely high, but we don't see, at least in these 23 states, an apparent increase. Among African Americans, however, we are seeing increases, and among Hispanics, we're also seeing apparent increases in these groups of men who have sex with men. These are heterosexual men, and here we see increases. We do see increases among whites, among African Americans and among whites as well, with African Americans really accounting for most of cases. Another point I wanted to make with regard to presentation of primary and secondary syphilis. Among men who have sex with men, heterosexual men, and women, you can see the proportion of cases that present as secondary in the green here versus the yellow, which is primary, is much higher for men who have sex with men. And that proportion is similar to what we see for women, whereas among heterosexual men, those proportions are much more equal. Presumably, this is because of the lesions that occur in men who have sex with men and women may not be as easily recognized or seen, and may not be brought to medical attention as quickly. And thus, more men who have sex with men and women present in later stages of disease. I haven't said much about congenital syphilis, fortunately, because there hasn't been a whole lot of movement, but there is some concern. As we've seen decreases, but then slight increases in cases of primary and secondary syphilis among women, we have seen a flattening in the dramatic decreases of congenital syphilis in the United States. We've seen a flattening here, and just last year, really for the first time in many, many years, we saw a slight increase, about 10 additional cases. Not incredibly significant, but worrisome given the rates and the increases we're now seeing in women, which generally parallel those for congenital syphilis. So something to keep our eyes on. So in summary, the rates of syphilis among men who have sex with men continue to increase in the United States. Men who have sex with men count for greater than 60% of all PNS syphilis cases. Rates are greatest among African American men, and a larger proportion of syphilis cases among men who have sex with men and women present in the secondary stage. Smaller increases over the past 3 years in women, especially in the South, are particularly concerning. And finally, I'd just like to thank all the state and local STD programs around the country who provided these data without whom all of this would not be possible, and folks at CDC who helped with this presentation. Thank you very much. Any questions?
So I'd like to ask you the same question about race and ethnicity. Do you think you're perhaps slightly less biased in race and ethnicity in primary secondary syphilis data? I think that might be the case for Chicago. Another question I have is, do you think the increase in African-American men is really troubling? And is that, so the increase that we observed in syphilis cases for white men at white MSM, is that
No, I think to answer your second question first, are we seeing increases in black men who have sex with men and heterosexual men? And I think the answer to that is yes. I think we're seeing increases around the country in both groups, not in every locality. I think we're certainly, there are parts of the country that are still in an MSM epidemic, and parts of the South, for example, are predominantly seeing heterosexual increases. But I think in the totality, we're seeing both. With regard to your first question, the issue of reporting bias, I think there is much less reporting bias for syphilis. Cases are identified through laboratory reports. They're then followed up by local and state health departments. And so I do think that's less prone to bias. With regard to the chlamydia reports, we estimate only about a third of all chlamydia cases are even reported to us. So we think there's obviously bias there. We don't think that's the case with syphilis. In fact, we think we probably know about 80 or higher percent of all syphilis cases. So, other questions? Yes.
Hillard, you didn't mention anything about HIV co-infection. I wonder if that's related to capturing the data or any data issues or if you have any insights about HIV co-infection.
We don't have that information. We'd love to get that information. And the new interview record that John Douglas alluded to in his opening remarks this morning did mention that we have now distributed an interview record that we've worked on quite hard with the folks in the Division of AIDS, and we do hope to collect information on HIV co-infection in the future. I think it'll obviously take a little while to implement all of those that new data, but I think that'll be extremely valuable in the future, and hopefully lead to some better collaborations with the other parts of CDC. Yes? Again, to answer your second question first, yes, there are many parts of the country that are seeing more cases among whites. I mean, we've seen that in the West, parts of the West, for example. The data I present are aggregated, and again, it's critical that folks look at their local data to really understand what's happening locally. This is really a conglomerate and is thus limited. But we are seeing increases in whites, certainly, in many parts of the country, white men in particular. Heterosexual. We haven't seen a lot of reports of that, but I'm not surprised. With regard to your first question, I'm not sure I remember the slide you're referring to, the other reporting sources. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. All I can say to that, we do include cases of syphilis from correctional facilities. They are included among the non-STD in a non-STD clinic group. So, as I said, that non-STD category does include many in the public from the public sector, not just the private HMO facilities. So. Judy. Well, the question to repeat is, how are we planning to handle the new emerging heterosexual epidemic now that we're refocusing to look at MSM with increases in that population? And I think that's really the million-dollar question, because our resources have been limited as we've tried to deal with yet a new epidemic. I mean, I think always the danger is, as you're trying to address new realities, is to take your eye off the ball. And as we try to find new solutions and alternatives in dealing with issues among one population, clearly it's a challenge. I think we need to maintain our eye on the ball, and what we started in 1999 among heterosexuals, and particularly, you know, the real focus there was, you know, looking at heterosexuals in the South in particular, as we adapt our strategies into other populations as well. It's a challenge, as resources are always stretched and limited. I don't have an answer. Yes. Comment is, can we see more data from rural areas and populations, not just the larger population centers? And I think that's a very good point. We should look at that. Thank you. Yes. And the question is, what are the reasons for these increases in the South? Why are rates going up? And to be honest, we don't totally understand that. I mean, clearly prevalence has always been somewhat higher in the South. So as you introduce new behaviors or new, whether it's drug use or what have you, it is more likely to go up where prevalence is already high. But we don't completely know. We are undertaking some investigations of localities where we've seen increases, but we don't understand all the risk factors that are contributing to it. That is, I mean, it is something that we've just started seeing ever so slightly, and now somewhat more so in 2007. Other questions? Yes. We have that data. The question is, for congenital syphilis, are those presumptive cases or those confirmed or probable cases? Is what they are. They're probable cases. We do have it broken down. I don't have that. I don't have that information with me. I can get it for you. As the moderator, I think I'm going to cut myself off and introduce the next speaker, who is Dr. Laurie Newman. And she'll be speaking on between the lines, an examination of recent increases in gonorrhea in the United States.